And that's working. Good. So welcome to the first webcast of 2019, 9th of January. And this is Mark Jai talking on Jesus revealing the Father. And I really want to just look at this. It's a very, very sort of well-known passage, a very, very foundational topic. But I really want to show how Jesus revealed the Father to us, and how he came to make this the whole focus of his life. I'm going to look in a few moments at John chapter 17 and just take us through that passage. It's the final prayer of Jesus before he goes to the cross, and he reveals so many things in that passage for us to look at, and I want to go through that in just a few moments. But just before I start that, I just want to give a summary of some of the things that we read about Jesus, because what we actually see when we look at his life is his whole life was not about himself, but his whole life was about his Father. And you know, everything he did was not to draw attention to himself and who he was, but it was to draw attention to his heavenly Father. And we see I just want to quote a few scriptures where we see Jesus totally, totally devoted to doing his Father's will, revealing who the Father was for us. In John chapter 6, verse 38, we read that Jesus only did his Father's will. You know, he had the choice, and he could have done what he wanted to do, but he chose always to focus on doing his Father's will. John chapter 5, verse 43, we read that Jesus came in his Father's name. You know, it's like he was sent by the Father to do the Father's work, to be the ambassador of his Father. You know, like a country sends an ambassador to another country, and they're representing their home country in that other place. And that's exactly what Jesus did. He came to be an ambassador. You know, he came from the Father to represent the Father, to be the Father's presence in this world. In John chapter 8, verse 16, it says that Jesus stood with his Father. You know, it's like they were side by side in unity and union together. In John chapter 8, verse 28, Jesus only said his Father's words. You know, he said nothing, you know, I only say what I see my Father doing, what I hear my Father saying. And that's incredible, because, and we'll look at that in a little bit more late, a little bit later, that, you know, everything Jesus said, he said on behalf of his Father. You know, it's like they planned it beforehand, and they've written the script, and Jesus came and delivered it on behalf of his Father. The next verse, chapter 8, verse 29, Jesus only lived to please his Father. You know, he wasn't interested in making himself look good or promoting himself, but he just wanted to bring glory and to please and to bless his Father. In John chapter 12, verse 27, it says that Jesus glorified his Father. You know, he wanted to, you know, when you bring glory to someone, you want to make them look good. And Jesus was just totally, totally focused on bringing glory to his dad. John chapter 14, verse 5, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. You know, he was the way to the Father, and he takes us in himself to the Father. You know, the only way we can discover the Father, the only way we can find the Father is by coming to Jesus and allowing him to take us to him, and so that he becomes our Father as well. John chapter 14, verse 8 to 11, there's that little discussion with Philip, And Jesus says, Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You know, it's like, Hebrews, it says that Jesus is the exact representation of the Father. And there he is in John chapter 14, says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You know, if you know what I'm like, you've discovered what the Father is like. And the sad thing is, so many people miss that. You know, they don't. And I think if they haven't seen the Father through the life of Jesus, you know, have they really seen who Jesus is? Because Jesus is very clear there with Philip. He says, Philip, if you've seen me, then you've seen the Father. And, you know, I wonder if people feel like they've had an encounter with Jesus, but if they haven't seen the Father through that encounter, then have they really seen Jesus in his fullness? Just throw that out there. Maybe a little bit provocative, but hey. And of course, you know, we've got the story of Jesus as a 12-year-old boy when he goes into the temple and he says there in Luke chapter 2, didn't you know I had to be about my Father's business? There he is as, you know, just as a 12-year-old boy focused on doing the will and the work of his Father. And I love that story in Luke chapter 2 because, you know, Jesus, it starts off with Jesus is talking to the teachers and he's asking the teachers questions, you know, and they're obviously answering him and going through some stuff with him. But it ends up with the teachers asking Jesus, the 12-year-old boy, questions. And then the teachers are absolutely amazed at the answers this 12-year-old boy gives them. You know, and I think what Jesus was doing as a 12-year-old boy was he was revealing the Father as he was teaching the teachers. And it's just an incredible story, an incredible account of how that conversation, you know, there are the teachers and there's this little boy sitting on a bench probably. And it starts off with an inquisitive 12-year-old asking them questions. And it ends up being totally reversed with them asking him questions and being totally amazed by what he was saying. And we know that Jesus only spoke his Father's words. We know he came to do his Father's will. We know he was just all about bringing his Father glory. And I really believe that as a 12-year-old boy, there he was in the temple, revealing his Father to the teachers. And, you know, they were amazed, but somehow it didn't transform them in a way that led to a transformation in the society, which everybody, of course, expected the Messiah to bring about. But, you know, just an incredible story, which I love sort of reading because it just shows the childlike simplicity of Jesus and what he was all about doing. You know, I just quoted already Hebrews chapter 1 that Jesus, the Son, was the exact representation of his being. And the first part of those verses in Hebrews, it says, in the past, God spoke through prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these days, he's speaking through his Son. And it's just like he's, you know, here is the Son superseding all of the prophets that have gone before him. And being the exact representation in word and action of his Heavenly Father. So we can see very, very clearly that everything that we read about Jesus' life was all about him revealing his Father, all about him showing off who his dad was and wanting us to discover that for ourselves. You know, Jesus, in Matthew 11, it says that Jesus, you know, no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. And, you know, the amazing thing is Jesus is not selective. He reveals the Father to anyone who's got eyes to see and ears to hear. And he just wants everybody to have an encounter with the Father. He wants everybody to know the Father as he knows the Father. And that's what John chapter 17 is all about. And I want to go through that because I want to show how it is that Jesus actually revealed the Father to us, but not only how he revealed past tense, but how he continues to reveal present tense to you and me, that Jesus is still revealing his Father to us because he wants us to get it. He wants us to come to know the Father that he knows and to know him in the same way. And so I just want to take a few verses out of John chapter 17. And as I do, you know, my prayer is that we get a deeper revelation of who the Father is. And we really come to know him in just a more intimate and close way. See, for me, when I read John chapter 17, it reads a little bit like a mission statement. Like Jesus is saying to his Father in this, because a prayer is just a conversation, you know. I mean, we get a bit sort of whatever about it, but it's just a conversation. It's a conversation between Jesus and his Father. And it reads a little bit like a mission statement. It's like Jesus is saying to his Father, he said, this is what you sent me to do, and this is what I've done. It's like he's saying, job done. You know, this is the last night before he's taken to the cross. He's had the meal with his friends, and he knows he's just about to be led away to the cross. But we have this prayer, and in this prayer, he says some incredible things, but he's really just giving an account of what he's done. You know, if we start off in verse, let me just start off at the beginning. You know, Father, the hour has come, glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Even as you gave him authority over all flesh, that to whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. And then Jesus says, this is eternal life, that they may know you. That they may know you, the Father, and the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you sent. You see, the very first thing Jesus says in this prayer is he's setting it in context. He says, eternal life is all about knowing the Father. You see, our eternal life begins when we're born again. You know, the moment we become a Christian, our eternal life begins. But, you know, I wonder when I read this, it's like it really, really begins when we know the Father. Because Jesus says, you know, eternal life is all about knowing the Father. And I think I became a Christian when I was a 10-year-old boy, and I discovered the Father really when I was about 40 years old. And it's like, yeah, I knew my eternal life began when I was 10, and I got, you know, I knew I was going to go to heaven and all of that was guaranteed. But like, since coming to know the Father, it's like everything begins to change and everything begins to slot into place. And it's like, yes, this is it. This is the completion. This is the fullness of what it's all about. And, you know, and I guess many of you will have had the same experience, that you, it's like you come to know the Father and it's like, this is it. This is what it's all about. This is what matters. And suddenly it's like, this is life. This is living. This is what Christianity is about. It's knowing the Father as Jesus knows him. And of course, that doesn't happen in one point in time, but that's an ongoing journey as we walk as Jesus walked and as we begin to get to know the Father as Jesus knows him. So verse 4, it says, Jesus says, I've glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work which you've given me to do. So right before the cross, Jesus says, Father, I've done everything you sent me to do. You know, you sent me to do a number of things, and I've done them. It's finished. And that's even before he goes to the cross. And he's saying, Father, you know, I know I came here for a purpose and I've done it. And then in the rest of the chapter, he goes on to tell us what some of those things are that he's done, that he's accomplished on behalf of his Father. And we read the first one in verse 6. Jesus says, I have made your name known to those you've given me out of the world. I've made your name known. You know, some translations say, I have revealed you, you know, and they actually mean the same thing, because when Jesus says, I've made your name known, he's not just saying, you know, I've told them who you are. But when he says, I've made your name known, he says, I have revealed your whole personality, your whole character, your whole nature. See, that one sentence is just so full of meaning. It's like, I have really, really shown them what you're like. You see, when Jesus gave the disciples what we call the Lord's Prayer, he said, oh, you know, when you come to God, you can call him Father, you know, our Father who is in heaven. You know, he took away all of the mystery of who God was. He took away the veil of understanding that had clouded people's idea of who God was. They couldn't see him. They didn't know what he was like. And they had no idea that he was a perfect father and that he wanted to be a father to them. And Jesus comes along and says, when you pray, which basically means when you talk to God, you can call him Father because that's who he is. And of course, we know Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 19. Jeremiah the prophet speaks on behalf of God and he says, I thought you would call me Father. See, why does he say that? He says that simply because he is Father. And he wanted his children, he wanted his people to call him Father because that's who he is. It's not who he was, it's who he is. And he is Father to us. And Jesus says, you know, I've revealed your name. I've made your name known. And, you know, that's just so full of meaning about a revelation of the personality of who God the Father is. And, you know, that ties in with what we read in Matthew chapter 11, where, you know, Jesus says, no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Therefore, come to me. You know, it's like Jesus is saying, I want to reveal the Father to you, so come to me. Come to me. And then, of course, we read about finding rest and letting go of the heavy burden of life and letting go of the stress and the anxiety and just living in that place of beautiful peace. And it's like Jesus says, come, let me reveal the Father to you. Come, come and find him. Come and discover him for yourself. And then you will realize that you don't have to carry a heavy burden. Then you will realize that you don't have to be weighed down by the troubles of life. Then you will realize that my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And you will find rest for your souls. And yeah, what a beautiful thing for us to come to the Father and have that weight lifted off us. And that's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, I have done this, Father. I've made your name known. I've showed them what you're really like. And as we'll see in a few moments, he did it then, but he is doing it now for us. So even for you and I today, tomorrow, the next day, he is showing us, he is revealing what his Father is like. He's showing us the nature and character and personality of his Father so that we can know that God really is a Father to us. So the first thing Jesus says, I've accomplished, is he says, I've accomplished revealing your name. I've accomplished showing them what you're really like. The second thing Jesus says is down in verse 14. And Jesus says, I've given them your word. I've given them your word. And, you know, Jesus was, and obviously still is, he is the word of God. And, you know, the words that Jesus spoke were his father's words. And, you know, as we've already said, he only said what he saw his father doing, what he heard his father saying. And there was that time, I guess you'll remember that time when the crowds are all leaving Jesus. They're all going away. And Jesus turns to his disciples and says, hey guys, are you going to leave me too? And Peter has that incredible revelation in that moment. Peter says, hey, where can we go? You've got the words of eternal life. You are Jesus Christ the Lord. You see, in that moment, Peter had a revelation, and he sees that the words that Jesus is speaking are words of life. And they are the Father's words. You know, they are the words for us that are in the Father's heart. And I really believe that, you know, we can still hear those words today. We can hear the Father speaking. We can hear, you know, Jesus is bringing us the word of life. He came that we might have life and life in all its fullness. You know, there was that time when Jesus went into the temple in Luke chapter 4, and it was his turn to read something from the scriptures. And then normally what would happen is the person who read the scriptures would then preach and expound the scriptures. Well, Jesus just read from the prophet Isaiah about the year of the Lord's favor. And then when he'd finished, he just handed the scroll back and he sat down and said, hey guys, today this is happening. The word of God is in your midst. And Jesus is saying here is, you know, as part of the things he's accomplished is what he's accomplished is he's given us words of eternal life. And I really believe that the words we hear from him, that he speaks into our heart, are words of eternal life. They're words of transformation. They're words that will completely and utterly change us. You know, they'll probably ruin us for life in a good way. And Jesus says, this is what I've done. Father, you sent me to do it. I've shown them who you are. I've given them your word. And then in verse 22 and 23 of chapter 17, he says this. He says, the glory which you have given me, I've given them, so that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world will know that you've sent me and love them even as you've loved me. Jesus says, Father, one of the things you sent me to do was to show these people that they can live like we live, that we can live in the same way that the Trinity lives. You know, the Trinity lives in perfect unity together, three in one, you know, three persons, but one, united. And Jesus says, I've given them that glory so that they may be one, just as we are one. And I read that the other day and I thought, we normally interpret that as being one with each other, you know, horizontal relationships. And that's obviously true. I think I really believe it means that. But I just wondered the other day when I read this, when Jesus says that they may be one as we are one, whether he's actually saying as well that we can be one in our relationship with God the Father and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, just as they are one together. And I really felt God say to me as I read it that Jesus has enabled us to live like the Trinity lives, to relate to him like the Trinity relates to each other. And when I thought about that, I thought, that is so incredible that humanity has been drawn into this incredibly beautiful an intimate relationship. And, you know, I believe that's what Jesus is saying, that he has given us the glory that has been given to him so that we can live in supernatural relationships. And that has to start with a supernatural relationship with God the Father, with Jesus our elder brother, and the Holy Spirit. And it will overflow so that we begin to live in unity with one another. Yeah, we try so hard to live in unity with one another, and kind of it works for a while and then it fades away and then we come back to it. But the more we live in unity with the Father, the more we have a relationship with him and allow him to be a father to us, the more I really believe that we can be united in real unity with one another. Because we can only love one another because we receive the love that he first loved us with. You know, we can't do it any other way. We love because he first loved us. And as we receive that love into our hearts, it transforms us so that we begin to love one another. And, you know, when I just feel like Jesus is saying here that he's enabled us to live like the Trinity lives. And that's just a beautiful gift that has been given to us. That's what Jesus did. Jesus said, Father, I've done what you sent me to do. You know, I've revealed who you are. I've given them words of eternal life. I've enabled them to live like the Trinity lives. And then in verse 24, he says this. He says, Father, I desire that they also, who you've given me, may be with me where I am. See, here's Jesus concluding his prayer, and he says, Father, I want them to be in the same place as I am. You know, I want them to be with me where I am. And of course, we know the end of the story. We know that through the death and resurrection of Jesus, he went back to his Father's side. We read in John chapter 1, verse 18, that he came from the bosom of the Father. He came from the side of the Father. He came from that intimate place with the Father. And that's where he's gone back to. He's gone back to the bosom of his Father. He's gone back to the side of his Father. He's leaning against his Father's breast. He's feeling and hearing his Father's heartbeat. And he says, Father, I want them to be with me where I am. And this is his desire. And he says, oh, Father, please, you know, could this happen? Would it be possible for these guys to be with me where I am? And his prayer for us, just as he's closing his human life, is that we would be caught up in love, that we would live in love, that we would be wrapped up in this environment of perfect love. And, you know, Jesus says, this is what I want, Father. This is what I want for my brothers and sisters. I want them to live in love. I want them to know that they're seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Or as the Amplified Version says of Ephesians 2, that we would have joint seating with Christ in the heavenly realms. You know, he's caught us up through his death and resurrection. He takes us with him. We are in Christ. And therefore, just as he is at the side of the Father, so we too are at the side of the Father. And then Jesus concludes it all in verse 26. And it's just such a beautiful promise. It's a beautiful expression of love. But it really, in one verse, it sums up for us the whole ministry of Jesus. It sums up for us everything that the Father wanted, everything that the Father wants for us to live in. And Jesus says this in verse 26. He said, I've made your name known to them, and I will continue to make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them. See, this is such a beautiful promise. Jesus is saying, yeah, I've done this. I've revealed the Father to these people. But he says, I'm going to go on revealing it. And it's like all the way through history, Jesus is still revealing his Father. all the way through history, Jesus is the only way for people to find the Father. And you know, I believe it's true for us that Jesus is still revealing the Father to us, and he wants to take us, he wants to draw us into that greater revelation of who the Father is. You know, he says, I've revealed you and I will continue to reveal you so that they may know that they are loved as I am loved. See, this is the simple purpose of the gospel, is that you and I, that we would know that we are loved in exactly the same way as Jesus is loved. Now, I don't know what that does for you, but that does me a lot of good. Yes, I think sometimes we struggle with self-worth and feelings of negativity, and we struggle with, you know, a lack of identity or whatever, and you know, we question, are we loved? Do we know we're loved? And you know, all of those struggles that go through our heads, and they're very, very real. But what Jesus says here is just the simplicity of the gospel. He says, Father, I want them to know that they are loved like I'm loved. Now, just pause for a moment and imagine, how does the Father love the Son? Yeah, how does the Father love the Son? He loves him with complete and perfect love. Of course he does. You know, there is no lack in that love for Jesus the Son. It's perfect, it's complete, it's the love of a perfect Father that, you know, many of us, of course, have never experienced. And Jesus says, Father, I want them to know that they too are loved with that perfect and complete love. You know, each one of us is loved in exactly the same way as Jesus is loved. That is just incredible. That's an amazing revelation to our hearts, but it's something that we're drawn into. It's something that we can live in. So, you know, Jesus concludes his earthly life and he says, Father, I've revealed you, but I'm going to go on revealing you because I want them to know that they are loved like I'm loved. See, I used to think it was easy for God to love Jesus. Because, of course, Jesus did no wrong. He was the perfect Son of God. And, of course, you used to think, well, okay, it's easy for God to love Jesus, but what about me? You know, does he really love me? How can he love me? You know, he can't possibly love me like he loves Jesus. But Jesus is absolutely clear. He says, Father, this is the point of it all. This is the gospel. This is what I've come to do, is to let them know that they are loved in exactly the same way as I'm loved. You know, and if we get that in our hearts, it changes everything. If we really, if that just lands inside us, of us, it's like a seed that is planted in our hearts that never stops growing, because it's not a one-time revelation of the Father's love. It's an ongoing, deepening revelation of the Father's love. It's like Jesus says, yes, I've revealed the Father to you. Do you remember your A school? You had a revelation of the Father, but there's more. There's a greater revelation of who he is. And it's like Jesus is saying, you know, where you were at yesterday, I want to take you deeper into the Father's love. I want to reveal more of what my Father is like to you. I want you to know in a greater way that he is being a Father to you. And it's like Jesus says, there's no end to this love. This is an eternal love. Jeremiah says, I've loved you with an everlasting love. You know, it's like there's this timeline that began in eternity and that will end in eternity. And that timeline is the Father's love. And Jeremiah says that eternal love is what we are loved with. It's not like the segment of our timeline that corresponds with eternity is we just receive love for that period. It's like all of the eternal love of God, eternity past, eternity future, that everlasting eternal love is all poured into our hearts. And of course, that's too much to to take on in one simple moment. And that's why we need this ongoing, deepening revelation of the Father. And Jesus promises that. He says, I'm going to continue to reveal the Father to you so that you will really, really, really know that you are loved as I'm loved. And I just want to finish by reading that from the Passion Translation, where, because I just think it just puts it in a different way that can capture our hearts. Jesus says, I have revealed to them who you are. I will continue to make you even more real to them, so that they may experience the same endless love that you have for me. For your love will now live in them, even as I live in them. We are loved with an everlasting love. And that love can only go deeper, it can only go wider, it can only go higher. It's a love like no other love. And I just want to end and just pray and just ask the Father to reveal more of his love for you. See, I guess you're on this webcast because you've had an experience of the Father's love. You've had an experience of the Father loving you. You've had an experience of his love reaching down and touching your heart and transforming your heart. I guess that's why you're here. But I really believe that those words that Jesus said, I will go on revealing you. And what he wants to do simply is, wherever we were half an hour ago, wherever we were a day ago, wherever we were 6 months ago, Jesus wants to reveal more of his Father to us. He wants us to have a deeper and a fuller experience of being loved, of God being a Father to us. And so whatever your journey has been, whatever your experience has been, just take these few moments and just ask for a deeper revelation of the Father, of the Father's love for you. A deeper revelation, a deeper experience of him being a Father to you. So I just want to pray, and then we'll just leave the music on for a moment or two. But just enjoy that deeper experience of being loved. Father, thank you that you are love. Father, thank you that your love for us was revealed through your Son Jesus. That he is the way for us to experience that love, to experience being loved, to experience you being a Father to us. And Father, just in these moments, we want a deeper experience of who you are. Father, each one of us, wherever we're at on our own journeys, we want a deeper, a fuller experience of you as a Father to us. Father, we want a greater experience of just being loved. Just to go a little bit deeper, a little bit higher, a little bit wider. Just a greater expression of your love being poured into our hearts. Father, thank you that your love is poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And right now we just take a moment to receive that love. Father, thank you that you're loving each one of us right now. For those who are watching the webcast later, you're loving them in this moment right now. And Father, just pour your love into their hearts by the Holy Spirit. Father, take each one of us into a deeper experience of who you are. Father, speak words of eternal life to us. Take us deeper into your presence. As Jesus said, Father, I want them to be where I am. Father, take us deeper into that intimate place with you, that we can experience and feel and touch your heartbeat, that we can experience you loving us. Father, wherever we are, whichever room in our house we're sitting in, right at this moment, just touch us with your love. That we'd have that deepening encounter with you. Thank you, Father.